tonight. Brother Ken's away visiting some of his folks up in Tennessee. So y'all pray for him. And you pray for me tonight. I try to bring you a few thoughts out of the Word of God. I try on Wednesday nights to prepare a short message. Somebody say hallelujah. Y'all look like y'all done about had all y'all stand today. And I appreciate you coming out, though. You pray for us. Psalms 84. This is a psalm of the sons of Korah. They were servants at the tabernacle. There's 10 psalms that are accounted to these sons of Korah. This one starts out by saying, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a wail. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Brother Adam, would you pray for us tonight? Yes, Lord. God bless. Yes. God, help us. Amen. You can be seated tonight. This particular psalm, there's three blessings that are mentioned in this psalm. It comes in verse 4 and 5 and verse 12. Verse 4 says, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee." Verse 5, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them." And then in verse 12 it says, "O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." And this psalm centers around the house of God. But I want you to notice in verse number 6, right in the middle of these blessings right here, there's a valley that's mentioned. It's called the Valley of Baca. And this valley is mentioned one time in the Word of God. And this valley, this word Baca, means weeping. And I want to tell you right now, we may be going through this life and things may be going good for us, but somewhere in our life that we may find ourselves in this valley of weeping. And I can look about this audience tonight and I can see folks that's gone through this valley of weeping, a time of brokenness, a time of tears in your life, friend. But listen, I'm telling you right now tonight, there's a lesson to be learned right here about this valley. There's strength for us if we'll just seek God's face and seek God's house and get in His strength before you get in that valley. It'll help you to make it through it. Well, I want you to notice tonight, friend, the blessings of the house of God and the blessings of the God of the house. Oh, we take a lot of things for granted in life, don't we? But these sons of Korah right here, as they were looking at the house of God, and this was a place where God's people met with God. It was a place that they longed for, as he writes right here in this psalm right here. It ought to be the desire of our hearts, friend, when we get out in this cold and dark and sinful world, it ought to be our heart's desire to get to the house of God and fellowship with God's people and come into the house of God to worship Him and to fellowship with God. I'm afraid we oftentimes get out into this world right here and we get cold and we get complacent. We let the things of the devil drag us away from the house of God. But oh, if we could get just like these sons of Korah right here. He said, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. How admirable, how lovely, and it's worthy of our love." Do you love the house of God? Do you really love God's house? Oh, if we just consider what He's done for us in our life, well, I believe we'd love His house more. It's a place where we come to worship Him. I'm glad we're not living like they were in these days right here when they come to the house of God. But that was the place where God met with His people, friend. Yeah, but listen, friend, I know today we are the temple of God. We're the tabernacle today, and God indwells us, and what a great blessing we have to know that God lives within us. But it's still a blessing to come to the house of God, to hear preaching and teaching and singing and worship and praising the Lord our God. We ought to long for it down in our heart and soul, friend. And I tell you, if we're a child of God tonight, that if we're missing that in our life, we're missing something that's needed. We ought to love the house of God. We ought to get here every chance we can, friend. If we're physically able, we ought to be here and support the house of God, support the man of God, support your teachers, support your singers. This is our house right here that God has provided for us, and we ought to love it. I want you to notice, first of all, the blessings of the sanctuary. Verse 4, he said, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house." Is this your dwelling place tonight? Does this mean as much to you as anything in your life? Didn't get any amens right there. We ought to love the house of God. God's provided us a great blessing right here at Liberty Baptist Church. We take it for granted. There's a lot of folks throughout this world today that hadn't got a meeting place like this. We got a good warm place to come in to worship God. We've got cars to get us here. And these sons of Korah and the people in that day, you know how they got to the house of God? They walked. But they loved to get there, though, because it was a place where God would meet with them. He says it's an amiable place. But he also, if you'll notice in verse 2, it's an anticipated place. He says, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." When's the last time you had that kind of feeling down in your heart and soul for the house of God? Amen. Most of the time, I'm afraid Christian folks say, "Oh me, it's Wednesday night. We got to go to church again. A preacher call us. If we don't, he'll want to know who's sick." Amen. But this man right here, he said, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." You know, there's a even in a lost person, there's something that cries out for God. There's something that's missing. There's an emptiness in a lost person's heart and life. And they'll never feel that emptiness until they find the living God. And He becomes real and dear in their life. You can search. You can try drugs. You can try anything you want. You can try alcohol. I don't care. You name it, friend. You can try it. But you'll never be satisfied in your soul, friend, until you find the Lord Jesus as Lord of your life. He breathed into your nostrils the breath of life and you became a living soul, friend. You belong to Him. And there's something that longs for that fellowship with God. Amen. It's an anticipated place. We ought to anticipate. We ought to long for the house of God. Listen, there ain't nothing out here in this world but junk. Wickedness. The Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness. Well, listen, friend, it ought to be a desire to get to the house of God and get out of that junk for just a little while. Not only an anticipated place, but I want you to notice in verse 3 the altars of the place. He says, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. You know, these men that were keeping the gates right there at that tabernacle, as you stepped into the tabernacle there, the walls around it right there was open to the air, and I believe they stood there and maybe they saw some little old sparrows that had built a nest somewhere around that brazen altar. And they thought, well, my goodness, even the sparrows got sense enough to raise their young at the house of God. Do I need to repeat that? Even a little old bird has got sense enough to bring their children to the house of God. Read it. The sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. You'll never do better. Yeah, listen, friend, you can do a lot of things for your kids. You can save money for them. You can send them to college and get them a fine education, but you'll not do any better than to get them to the house of God. Hey, listen, every chance you get, you ought to have them here. Hey, listen, your kids ought to see you faithful. Kids tend to grow up and be like parents in a lot of ways, don't they? If kids is looking at parents that are unfaithful, then more than likely they'll be hit and miss when they get older, if they even come to the house of God at all. Amen. Even the bird has got a lot more sense than a lot of folks have. The altars of the place. I'm glad we got an altar up here that we can lay our young'uns. They need prayer. Listen, kids are growing up in a dark time. We live in a day when our country, the leaders of our country, they are doing their best to push God totally out of our society today. And we are raising kids today that don't even know if they're a boy or a girl. And listen, we gotta have metal detectors and police roaming the schoolyards to keep kids from killing one another. What kind of society have we got to bring them up in now? You better get them to the house of God and get some faith in them while they're young. And I appreciate you being here on Wednesday night. And I hope God gives you some help from this place tonight. The blessings of the sanctuary. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. The amiable place anticipated place, the altars of the place, and the anchor of the place. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. You better plug you an anchor in this place right here. You better, as Brother Ken says, you better get you some glue in your britches, friend. We're in perilous times today, and you better stay faithful to the house of God. This flesh, this world, and the devil is going to do everything that it possibly can to keep you from it. You better learn how to defeat your flesh. That's the biggest problem we got. Sorriness. Laziness. Priorities in the wrong place. There's somebody watching you. There's somebody that needs to see you faithful. There's somebody that needs to see that you possess what you profess. No better way than to show it than to be faithful to the house of God. The blessings of His sanctuary. And then secondly, the blessings of His strength. Listen, friend, if you're going to be strong in the Lord, then it starts at the house of God. You're going to have to be faithful to the house of God. There's things that you'll get here that you won't get anywhere else. Amen. It's good to study. It's good to pray. It's good to do things at home, friend, to fellowship with God at home. But friend, there's something special about the house of God. We need each other. We need fellowship. We need worship. Notice what the Bible says right here. The blessings of His strength in verse 5. Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. You remember what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6? He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Why? Because our might is nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. That's why oftentimes we get in a mess. That's why our life gets in shambles. That's why we're so defeated sometimes and get knocked out of the battle, friend. We try to go in the power of our might. And we're not relying on His strength. We're not filled with His strength. Paul went on and said, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. Well, listen to me. The blessings of His strength. Well, why? Why do we need to be strong in the Lord? The very next verse answers that for us right here, friend. Verse 6, he says, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Now, I said a while ago, friend, this valley of Baca was a valley of weeping. And let me tell you, it's a difficult valley. I want you to think in your life, have you ever been to a really, I'm talking about a broken place in your life, where all you could do was weep? Fall on your face and weep, broken-hearted, whatever it might have been that brought it upon you, friend. You might have been going through your valley of Baca. Let me tell you something. You may not have ever had that experience in your life, but let me tell you, you could have it tomorrow. You could have it before the sun rises in the morning. This valley of Baca, this valley of weeping, friend, it's a difficult place. And don't expect to go through life and never be broken. This life is full of troubles. Jesus Himself was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. So don't think it's strange if trouble comes your way. It's coming, as a matter of fact. Man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, the Bible says. You ever been broken? You ever been through this valley of Baca? Oh, it's a difficult valley. But listen, I notice a dependable vantage in verse 8. He cried, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear. How's your prayer life? Hey, I'm talking to you now. How is your prayer life? Are you listening tonight? How's your prayer life? God has given us a privilege of prayer.
Listen, I believe the early church, if you study your Bible, they use this privilege to their power, to their advantage, friend. But I'm afraid in the day that we live, we're so caught up in the things of the world, we're too busy to pray. A lot of folks too busy to even come to the house of God, much less pray. Oh, a lot of times that's why we're so defeated, so weak. We have no fellowship with God. We don't have time to pray. We're failing in our prayer life. And oftentimes when trouble comes our way, the first thing we want to do is grab the phone and call the preacher and ask him to fix it when we ought to be calling upon God. Oh, there's a dependable vantage, friend, that's called prayer. And it's a privilege to be able to go into the presence of God and pray. I'm talking about this difficult valley. If you'll notice in that verse right there, he says, who passing through the valley of Baca, making a wail. Whoa, what are we talking about right here? Making a wail. In this valley of weeping, in this dry and dark place, God says you can make it a well. How are we going to do that? Jesus spoke to a woman at a well one day. He said, whosoever drinks of this water at this well will thirst again. But the water that I shall give him, hey, he'll never thirst again. But this water will be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know what happens when we go through a valley? When a brother or sister in this place is going through a valley, there's somebody watching. Maybe there's somebody praying for him. Maybe there's somebody helping. But God is our strength. God is our help. Hey, listen, He wants us to not get drugged down in the valley, but He wants us to come out of the valley a stronger and a better Christian. And if we'll get filled with His well, we can do that. And let me tell you something else too, friend. If we'll make a well out of our valleys, if we'll provide a well when we go through our valley, then maybe some of these little ones that'll come along after us, maybe it'll be a brother or a sister, friend, they'll come through the same valley someday, that valley of brokenness and weeping, and they'll look at you, and they'll look at me, and they'll say, well, they made it with the help of God. I know I can make it too. Make it a well. You get drugged down into a valley, friend, of brokenness and weeping, lean on God. Lean on His strength. Rely on God and be strong in the Lord, and He'll bring you through it. Let me tell you something, you can be stronger when you come out than when you went in. If we'll just get filled with God. Oh, listen to me. The psalmist said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Listen, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. That's what we need, friend. We need some cups that's running over. But we got to seek it from God. We gotta want it. We gotta pray for it. We gotta beg God for it. Have you ever seen somebody that had the anointing of God on them? What a blessing they are. Think about it, folks. Isn't it a blessing to see God just get all over somebody? I think about Brother Vince here Sunday morning. Boy, he got tore up, didn't he? Friend, his cup was running over. Hey, it was a blessing to see it. Experience it. But you know what? You and you and you and you can have that same cup of running over. You can be a blessing too. You can exalt Christ and give Him glory and give Him praise. Listen to me. You ain't just got to be a spectator. You can be a participator. God would be pleased with that, I believe. The blessings of His strength. Difficult valleys are going to come our way. We got a dependable vantage. And that vantage is prayer. Then there's a demonstrated
victory. We can demonstrate to the world, to those that are about us, that we can come through a valley. We can come through a place of brokenness and weeping in victory, relying upon the Lord God. Go in strong. Listen, now here's the key. If you're faithful to the house of God and the things of God, a valley comes along, you go in that valley strong, and you can come out stronger. You can be a blessing instead of a burden. And somebody else that's watching you facing that valley someday down the road, they'll see they can make it through too. And then the blessing of His sanctuary, the blessing of His strength, then the blessing of His supply. Verse number 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Well, I'm glad I know the Lord. In these dark, perilous times that we live in, I'm glad I can trust in His Word. I'm glad I've got somebody to lean on. Oh, how miserable a life it is when you don't know the Lord. Listen, in verse number 11, let's read that. For the Lord God is a sun, S-U-N, and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. What a verse. What a Bible verse. Did you hear what he says right here? The Lord is a sun. He's a sun. He's a light. He lights my pathway through life. He called me from darkness to His marvelous light. And the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. And let me tell you something, friend. The Holy Ghost is the oil in my lamp tonight. I'm glad, friend, He's a sun to me. He's a lighting up my way through this life, headed toward the land of endless day. He's a sun. He also says He is a shield. He is a shield. Did you know Jesus loves you? Did you realize you'll never go through anything alone? Listen, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Listen, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he was able to say, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because Thou art with me. You'll never go through anything alone. There's been mamas and daddies to forsake children. There's been children to forsake mamas and daddies. Husband forsake wife. Wife forsake husband, friend. But listen, Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. No wonder He recorded right here that He is our God is a sun and a shield. Talking about the blessings of His supply. He is our supply. He said the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing. Listen now. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. The blessings of His supply. You're going to need Him somewhere down the road. And the Bible says that He'll supply all our needs according to His riches and glory. Hey, I didn't say He'd supply all our wants. You know what we got in the day that we live? We got a wanting problem. Your wants will get you in a mess. But your needs, He knows what we need. And He said, I'm going to supply what you need. Hey, listen to me. You may need a valley. Listen, you may need a valley. You know what we do when we go through valleys? We get humble, don't we? You know what we do when we go through valleys? We tend to call upon God. Don't we? There's been folks that forget about God. Forget about praying till they get broken. Boy, then they want to hear from heaven. They want brothers and sisters praying for them. They want God's help. They want God's attention. He knows what we need. One more blessing I thought of, just closing real quick. It's not in this, but it's for us as a church. Not only the blessing of His sanctuary, the blessing of His strength, the blessing of His supply, but the blessings of serving Him. These men were doorkeepers at the house of God. And look what they said. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. You know what they said? If you can spend one day in the house of God and experience His glory and His presence, it's better than every day you'll spend in your life out there in that world. That's what they said now. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You got that kind of attitude? Is the house of God that precious to you? I'm closing now. Let me say this. The lowest position in God's kingdom and service is better than the highest position in this world of darkness. I'd rather be the one that cleaned the restrooms at the house of God than to be running some major corporation out here in this world and know that my Lord and Savior has saved my soul. I'd rather do that. I'd rather be the poorest man, the lowliest man in heaven, than the loftiest or richest man in hell. Amen? The house of God and the God of the house. I wonder if there's anything in your life you need tonight. Stand with us all over this house.